More specifically, what can we do to gain this awareness, this realization, and how can we make it fruitful in our lives? I will try to answer this question in two parts. First, concerning our awareness of the world around us, which as never before in the history of Christianity has become our conscious enemy. And second, concerning our awareness of orthodoxy, which I'm afraid most of us know much less than we should, and much less than we have to know if we wish to keep it. First, since whether we wish it or not, we are in the world, and its effects are felt strongly wherever you are today, even in a remote place like our monastery here. Therefore, we must face it and its temptation squarely and realistically, but without giving in to it. In particular, we must prepare our young people for the temptations facing them, and, as it were, inoculate them against these temptations. We must be aware that the world around us seldom helps and almost always hinders the upbringing of a child in the true Orthodox spirit. We must be ready to answer every day the influence of the world by the principles of a sound Christian upbringing. This means, to go into a few more specific points, that what a child learns at school must be constantly checked and corrected at home. You can't assume what he's going to learn in school is something that's profitable or secular and has nothing to do with his orthodox outlook on life. A generation ago, you could have assumed that more or less. Now, no longer can do that. A child may be taught useful skills and facts in schools, although many schools in America today are failing miserably even with this. In fact, many school teachers tell us that all they can do is keep the children in good order in class without even teaching them anything. But even if he gets this much, which few are getting, he's also taught many wrong attitudes and philosophy. A child's basic attitude towards an appreciation of literature, music, history, art, philosophy, even science, and of course life and religion, must come first of all not from school, because the school will give you this all mixed up with modern philosophies. It must come first from the home and the church, or else a child is bound to be miseducated in today's world. A public education is at best agnostic and at worst openly atheistic or anti-religious. Of course, in the Soviet Union, all this is forced upon the child. There's no religion whatsoever, and there's an active program of making the child atheist. In America, it's not so bad. Perhaps in some places, it's getting that bad, but not as bad. Another point, parents must know exactly what is being taught their children in sex education courses, which are almost universal today in American schools. And this must be corrected at home, not only by a frank attitude to this subject, especially between fathers and sons, a very rare thing in American society, but also by a clear setting forth of the moral aspect, which is totally absent in public education. Another point, parents must know just what kind of music their children are listening to, what is in the movies they see, listening and seeing together with them when necessary, what kind of language they're exposed to, what kind of language they use, and various other points of common everyday life, and it must be a Christian answer, a Christian attitude given to all of us. Television, in households where there is not enough courage to throw it out the window, must be strictly controlled and supervised to avoid the poisonous effects of this machine, which has become the leading educator of anti-Christian attitudes and ideas in the home itself, especially to the young. I speak about the raising of children because this is where the world first strikes its blows at Orthodox Christians and forms them in its image. Once wrong attitudes have been formed in a child, the task of giving him a Christian education becomes doubly difficult. But it is not only children, it is all of us who are facing the world which is trying to form us in anti-Christianity, by means of schools, television, movies, popular music, and all the other influences that pound in upon us, most of all in the big cities. And we have to be aware that what is being pounded in upon us is, it's all of one piece. It has a certain rhythm, a certain message to give us, this message of self-worship, of relaxing, of letting go, of enjoying yourself, of giving up any thought of progress. In various forms, whether in music or in movies, television, what's being taught in schools, the way subjects are emphasized, the way the background is given, everything else, is one particular thing that is being given to us. It's actually an education in unbelief. In the Soviet Union, it's an education in atheism. We have to fight back by knowing just what the world is trying to do to us and by formulating and communicating our Orthodox Christian response to it. Frankly, from observing the way Orthodox families in today's world live and pass on their orthodoxy, it would seem that this battle is more often lost than won. The percentage of Orthodox Christians who retain their Orthodox identity intact and are not changed into the image of today's world is rather small. I don't mean just people who continue to go to church on Sundays, because many people going to church on Sundays are not very aware of what their religion is all about. However, having said this much, I must say now that it is not necessary to view the world around us as all bad. If it was, there would be almost no hope for us. In fact, for our survival as Orthodox Christians, we have to be smart enough to use whatever is positive in the world for our benefit. And here I'll go into a few points where we can use something in the world which seems to be nothing to do directly with Orthodoxy in order to formulate our Orthodox worldview. For example, the child who has been exposed from his earliest years to good classical music and has seen his soul being developed by it will not be nearly as tempted by the crude rhythms and message of rock and other contemporary forms of pseudo-music as someone who has grown up without a musical education. Such a musical education, as several of the often elders have said, refines the soul and prepares it for the reception of spiritual impressions. The child, second point, the child who has been educated in good literature, drama, and poetry, and has felt their effect in his own soul, that is, has really enjoyed them, will not easily become an addict of the contemporary movies and television programs and cheap novels which devastate the soul and take it away from the Christian path. Another point, the child who has learned to see beauty in classical painting and sculpture will not easily be drawn to the perversity of contemporary art or be attracted by the garish products of modern advertising and pornography. Another very important point, the child who knows something of the history of the world, especially in Christian times, and how other people have lived and thought, what mistakes and pitfalls people have fallen into by departing from God and his commandments, and what glorious and influential lives they have lived when they were faithful to him, will be discerning about the life and philosophy of our own times, and will not be inclined to follow the first new philosophy or way of life he encounters. One of the basic problems facing people educating children today is that in the schools, they are no longer given a sense of history, that anybody has lived before us. Anybody who knows anything about history before the Second World War is considered ancient history. And actually, it's a very dangerous, fatal kind of a thing to give a child, because it means he has no ability to take examples from the way people lived in the past. And actually, history constantly repeats itself. And once you see that, it becomes interesting how people are falling into the same traps today. And you begin to see how you can answer this, how people have answered it in the past, how there have been people who went against God, and what results came from that, and how people changed their lives and became exceptions, and gave an example which has lived on to our own time. And with this sense of history is a very important thing that should be communicated. In general, the person who is well acquainted with the best products of secular culture, which in the West almost always have definite religious and Christian overtones, has a much better chance of leading a normal, fruitful, Orthodox life than someone who knows only the popular culture of today. One who is converted to Orthodoxy straight from rock culture, anyone who thinks he can combine Orthodoxy with that kind of culture, has much suffering to go through and a difficult road in life before he can become a truly serious Orthodox Christian who is capable of handing on his faith to others. Without this suffering, without this awareness, Orthodox parents will raised children who will be devoured by the contemporary world around us. The world's best culture, properly received, refines and develops the soul. Today's popular culture cripples and deforms the soul and hinders it from having a full and normal response to the message of Orthodoxy. Therefore, in our battle against the spirit of this world, we can use the best things the world has to offer in order to go beyond them. Everything good in the world, if we are only wise enough to see it, points to God and to Orthodoxy. We have to make use of it.